I spent a good bit of time last night just kind of looking at the rendering and also reading through the contract. They're requesting quite a few amendments to the master plan, or there some adjustments to it. So I think that the board and you and our county planning staff and the attorney is going to have to look at that. You know, one of the things that I understand that necessitated the way we structured this deal, Wes, was the Live Local Act. You know, the legislature passed. A lot of folks may not necessarily know the way it was presented was it was going to help with the affordability of housing. But as a practical matter, the implication was that any commercially zoned property in the state could immediately, the day after purchase, be developed into high density apartments, and the local governments were powerless to prevent it. The state totally preempted our ability. And that was the genesis for the reason why the county pulled back the 240 acres of OLF 8.
Yeah. And by the way, I really appreciate Commissioner Bragash explaining that, because even I had not realized that was the nature of it. And I thought, is that right? And I went and read the bill yesterday, and he's right. As far as I read it, it's pretty clear. And it's not just high density residential, multifamily. It's low income is the key, that the state put this plan together, the Live Local Act, SB 102, that counties and municipalities, if you've got commercial zone property, it can be converted to high density residential apartments, basically up to the maximum height allowed under the current land use in that area. And there's nothing you can do about it. So if we had sold them the property, they could by right turn around and put apartments there, and we wouldn't have had any economic development out of that. Wes Moreno is the Escambia County administrator. Wes, thanks for joining us as always. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Yeah, so that's scary, weirdly, because, you know, this project's been in the works for so long, and all of a sudden a bill gets passed in Tallahassee that could have, had we not been paying attention, completely undone the whole point of the project, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was when they passed that bill, it became a great concern for us, and we started strategizing how not to let that happen out there with OLF 8. You know, it's the only piece of property we own that has the potential for that much economic development, and we wanted to make sure to preserve our ability to do that. And so Commissioner Bragash is exactly right, and that's exactly why we held back that 241 acres.
And the other slice of this, so now what we're doing moving forward is kind of the D.R. Horton portion of it at a much lower overall price, obviously, but it's for much less. It's like half the land, so of course that makes sense. But then the other part is basically going to become, and forgive me for using this terminology, but it's going to become the northern half of OLF 8 will become basically another, industrial or commerce park that the county is going to own and rent out space on, right? Is that the idea? If this deal goes through.
Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah, if this deal goes through. But yes, you're right. That northern half, it's almost exactly the northern half. 241 acres, and it'll be used for light industrial, economic development. And we have Frank Reeder Road under design right now to reconstruct that road, make it a little bit wider, and then curb and gutter, heavier base for heavy axle loading for trucks coming in and out. Sidewalks, you know, we're going to transform Frank Reeder Road down through there, which will give access to that northern half of the area there.
And so the back half, like you said, the Northern Road, Frank Reeder, will then eventually, when the Beulah Road interchange with I-10 goes in, that'll be much quicker access right to I-10. They won't have to go out the front, won't have to go through 9 Mile and all of that. So, I mean, all of that makes sense to me. The one question and obviously I know a lot of ears perked up when he said they're requesting a bunch of amendments to the master plan. The pledge all along has been that the essence of the master plan would be honored, even if some tinkering around the edges might need to be done, which tinkering is not such a problem. You've now had a day to look it over. You'd said yesterday you would look it over and, you know, kind of, you know, have a better assessment. How much tinkering, how much change to the master plan, how feasible is it that this is actually going to happen? You tell me, what's your assessment?
Well, I think one of the things that's being requested is, you know, a guarantee that the master plan or the ordinance will be modified. And, you know, me and Allison were sitting down, we were talking. I said, you know, I can't guarantee that. I mean, we get to change that ordinance no matter what the request is. Honestly, Andrew, I'll be honest with you, I think anybody who buys that property will have some requests similar. Because there really was no engineering involved in that master plan. And so there are some things that I think will need to be, promoted not saying changing the use something or getting away from the spirit of the master plan, but there are some things I think that will need to be modified a little bit anyway. But, you know, going to a contract, when you go through changing that ordinance, I mean, it's public hearings, there's public input, you know, the board has to go through it. And so it's hard to promise something in a contract that we really have no control of until it happens.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be a challenge for us, and a few other things. But it's kind of, again, like I said, I can't promise the outcome of a public process because you see the meetings, you see how these things go,
yeah,
and where they land at sometimes. So it's just countering to that it'll be a challenge. But
okay.
We're going to put a bullet point list together, Ben Allison, the things in their proposal that we think our challenges, and then we'll have individual discussions with each commissioner, and then we'll see how we move after that.
Okay. And Allison Rogers, the county attorney. Is this really the only offer that we're working with right now, this one with D.R. Horton? Or are there really other interested parties that are still in the process?
I keep hearing there are other interested parties. I did email some information out to a group earlier in the week. Same information I've emailed out to other folks. And but as far as actual letters of interest, here's our offer, this is the only one we've had, yes.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Wes, saw a story in the paper, P&J talking about the Navy Point Park parking. Look, that is a long, sprawling, beautiful county park. And the complaint, as I understand it, is that people are parking not just on the water side, the park side of the street, but also parking on the residential side and parking on people's lawns in the right-of-way, which they're allowed to do unless it's specifically prohibited. That's the nature of a right-of-way. And the request is not just to prohibit them parking on the property side, but to prohibit them parking on the park side, the water side as well. And look, you may not be able to say it this way, but to me, I'm like, I mean, it's a park. There's people are going to park there. I don't, you know, you may not like it, but that's, you don't get to have a county-maintained park on a public street and also prohibit people from parking where there's not enough parking. I mean, am I missing something here?
Well, this was spurred, I think, from one incident out there, and it's kind of lit up a little bit. Me and my wife's friends, we used to walk the walking path over there. It's a great place to walk.
It's a fabulous park.
Great environment. It's fabulous. It's just a great, great space over there. And, so parking, and I get it. I mean, people maintain their lawns and just like me, I mow the county right away and stuff in front of my house, and you take care of your lawn and you don't want somebody parking on it repeatedly,
right.
Like the mailman. The mailman comes and delivers your mail and creates a mud hole right there in front of the mailbox,
Right.
And so, there should be some politeness about it. And I think maybe one incident kind of blew up a little bit, and now it's kind of spread out. So we're looking at solutions to try to remedy that, maybe creating more parking area on the water side. A designated parking area in certain places. So we're looking at that option. And so we're still talking about it internally. And hopefully we'll be able to come up with a solution that'll be acceptable for both the homeowners and the folks that are visiting the park. And I guess the challenge is the incident that blew up, this person lives there in the area. So it's not like he's coming from out of the area.
Mm, okay.
And so, can you walk to the park? Can you ride your bike to the park? I mean, you know what I'm saying? But we're going to continue to work it, and hopefully we'll be able to come with a solution that'll be accessible for everybody.
Well, and even if you wind up prohibiting parking on the resident side of the street, that's going to take signs put in their yards, and would they want that? I mean, I personally wouldn't want that, but I get where they're coming from.
Yeah, well, that was that. Yeah.
I get where they're coming from, but you know, what's your real answer here too? So, hey, last thing I wanted to ask you about, Wes, is Santa Rosa County is today going to vote on, and I'm sure they're going to pass it 5-0. Basically, a proclamation trying to get NOAA to back off of its very restrictive boating rules for deep water boating in the Gulf. You know, slow miles, well, 10 knots and no night transits and, you know, all kinds of other stuff. It wouldn't affect most recreational boaters, but it will affect a substantial number of, you know, deep sea fishermen and things like that. Have you been looking at this and whether you might also join with them or issue a proclamation from our county as well?
Yeah, we've been talking about it. It is pretty restrictive. You know, I think it's going to hurt your charter fishing industry immensely, honestly. You know, you figure from Pensacola and Santa Rosa and Okaloosa and Destin and all, you know, areas to the east. Yeah. And really anybody who wants to troll from here to South Florida is going to affect. You know, in this area, you can only, you know, it's going to be a mapped out habitat zone. And you can only go 10 knots. Well, I live out in Beulah, and if I'm driving to work and my path is in a habitat zone, that means I'm going 11 and a half miles an hour from here to downtown.
Right.
I mean that's what you're doing, 11 and a half miles an hour. And if I get down there and work late, I can't come back because now it's dark.
Right.
It's that restrictive. And so some of these charter fishermen, you know, they try to get in two trips a day. So they take an early trip and they take a late trip, and then it's dark when they come back. Now they're running 11 and a half miles an hour, and now they're at risk of being tagged because they're in the habitat zone at night.
Right.
It's extremely restrictive. You know, I think it's going to have a devastating impact, honestly, on the local fishing tourism, you know, and in some of your restaurants, and anybody who relies on that industry,
right,
for income.
Well, good. I assume this is something that's going to come up in subsequent meetings. I look forward to the conversation, and you know, more what I look forward to is the possibility of getting NOAA to back off. that's the real end goal.
Right. Absolutely.
Glad to hear that y'all are working on that as well. Wes Moreno, he is the county administrator for Escambia County. Wes, as always, thanks for the time, and thanks for what you do for the county, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Andrew. Thank you, and have a good day.